From the great Atlantic Ocean to wide Pacific shore, to the queen of the flowing mountain, south of Baltimore. She's mighty tall and handsome, yet known quite well by all. She made a modern combination on that Wabash cannonball. She come down to Birmingham on a cold December day. When she rolled into the shed, you could hear all the people say, yeah, the gal from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She's here from Indiana on that Wabash cannonball. Can't you hear the jingle roll, the rumble and the roar, gliding through the woodland, through the hills and by the shore? The mighty rushing of the engine, lonesome hobo squall, traveling through the jungle on that Wabash cannonball. Yes, old Daddy Claxton may his name forever stand. He'd long to be remembered, cause he's known out through the land. But his earthly race is over, the painting around him falls, taking him through to Dixie on that Wabash cannonball. Can't you hear the jingle roll, the rumble and the roar, gliding through the woodland, through the hills and by the shore? Mighty rushing on the engine, lonesome hobo squall, traveling through the jungles, boys, on the Wabash cannonball.
Yes, indeed. The Wabash Cannonball. It's Brian and Vinny's show, March 23rd, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Raw and SmackDown today. That's it. I've got a special documentary we'll be talking about next week. On the Road with Colt Cabana.
Oh, we're saving that. Okay.
Well, yeah, because we only watched half.
Well, I figured we just talk about the half we watched.
I'd rather do the whole thing all at one time.
That's fine.
Why split it in half? Let's do the whole thing next week. I will say it's great.
Yes.
It's pretty damn great.
It is Colt Cabana, Brian Danielson, Sal Vernaro, and a cameraman basically trapped on the road for 10 days.
Yeah. 2 hours and 40 minutes long. Didn't have time to watch the entire thing. I'd planned on it, but then we realized it was 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
But they are on the road for a long-ass time, and for those of you that are not wrestlers and don't know what goes on, well,
you'll learn.
This is the DVD for you. Three guys on the road going to a bunch of wacky shows, meeting a bunch of wacky people, and doing a bunch of wacky stuff. It's a pretty damn great DVD. I think it's available at his website. I'll actually go check right now. I don't do any preparation for these shows, as everyone is well aware. I believe ilovecolt.com is the name of his website.
I would be lying if I said I knew it off the top of my head.
I thought I did, but apparently I don't, because that's not the name of the website.
What came up when you typed that in?
Just doesn't exist.
No. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Much more comical than that.
No. Well, now he knows to get it.
It's available?
We love Colt.
Very close.
Is that it? Where is Colt Cabana's website?
I am just going to Google him.
Let's try his Wikipedia. Colt's getting way more press than he expected here by not having an easily accessible website. We love Colt.
In a strange way, yes, it's worked out.
WeLoveColt.com.
Apparently there's also ColtMerch.com.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
It's a smiling picture of Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
The NWA World Champion.
He is currently the champion of the world, the NWA version.
And there, in fact, is a, right at the top of the page, is the DVD we just watched part of.
The Wrestling Road Diaries DVD. It's only $20! Apparently, they're taking pre-sales right now, so I guess I'm getting a... I got a copy.
Well, the copy you got is a blank DVD that's written on in by hand in pen. Promo copy, do not burn.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to burn it, of course. So, check it out. The Wrestling Road Diaries DVD. Pre-order it at WeLoveColt.com. ColtMerch.com. We'll do the entire review next week, but suffice to say, it's quite great. It is not only 7 days or 10 days or whatever on the road with Colt, but it's the final indie appearances before Bryan Danielson
goes to WWE.
This is the end of the road for him. And when you watch the DVD, quite frankly, you wonder, why the hell did he go? Because guaranteed he had way more fun in these 10 days than probably most weeks in WWE. You know, you get to go out there and actually have long, fun matches, hang out with your friends.
You get to work.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a 3-minute TV match or as Colt Noder in his time in developmental, you're not having matches with football players.
Yeah.
You're having matches with other wrestlers in front of wrestling fans.
But based on Bryan Danielson's personality, he's probably having fun in WWE.
I think he'll do fine there.
I guess
I got the impression, yes, as much fun as he probably had here, I also got the impression that, you know what, it was really time for him to go up.
You don't say.
Yes.
So anyway, everybody, we'll have a full review next week, but the early reviews are in. Very, very good. Wrestling Road Diaries, ColtMerch.com. Check it out. We'll talk more about it next week. And here on this program, Raw SmackDown shout-outs. We'll play some songs. You know, some good times.
Sweet.
Good times. Happy memories.
And great memories,
great
yes.
Great memories, yeah. Good times, great memories. Well, let's get started here. We may as well just play a song. We've already...
Go for it, boss.
Sure. Let's play a song, then we'll get started here. Why end the fun?
Why start the fun?
Is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery
setting.
Bound by wild desire, I fell into
setting
fire. I fell into a burning
setting
fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns,
burns your toast.
Setting
fire.
The setting
fire.
Okay. Turn around at the end there. He's setting a fire.
Well, all he said here was, I finally got around to creating a song. This is from the pink one. He says, I hope it is still better than Impact. Well, you succeeded.
True. Indeed. No worries there.
I'm waiting to find a song that's not worse than Impact. Or that's worse than Impact.
Or
should we
better.
Start this show over again?
No. How can we possibly top this performance?
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Should I start?
No, I'm going to start. I thought this was a great show. You want to know why? Because Brodus Clay is this week's best wrestler in the world.
Brodus Clay is awfully, awfully great.
God damn, Brodus Clay is awesome.
And he was great this week, even though this was the first week he really realized, boy, this guy's green. But, A, he's got it together enough that when he screws something up, like there were a few times in his match with Edge where he was hesitant or he was out of position or something, but then he fixed it and he just kept going.
Yeah.
Rolled with the punches. So he's going to do fine. And B, and it's the same thing we talked about last week, he stands out so much on the roster.
He's big.
He is not in the cookie cutter.
He's big, he's fat, he's ugly.
Yeah.
He's kind of pale.
Love everything about
the
man.
He's got tats.
Well, that's...
Fabulous.
Yes.
A fabulous man. You know, first off, I know that as soon as I go to the thread tomorrow, someone's going to go, Brian finally got around to seeing Brodus Clay. Clearly, he didn't watch NXT. Yeah, no shit. That show is not on television anymore. It's on the internet. Okay? I'm not going out of my way to watch shows that are internet only.
I'm not going out of my way to watch shows that suck.
If it's, for example, the ROH 9th anniversary show, if it is a big Dragon Gate event, at least big event, weekly NXT is not a big event, and it is not a show that I'm going to go out of my way to see. And, furthermore, either is anybody else! A couple of you on this website might have watched NXT. Good for you. I'm not saying anything bad about you. I'm glad that you enjoyed the program. With that said, you are in the vast minority. So, Brodus Clay, this is not only one of the first times I've seen Brodus Clay, but this is one of the first times Americans and people worldwide have seen Brodus Clay. So, now it is your turn, NXT viewer, to roll with the punches. Yes, we're late to the draw. Who fucking cares? We figured it out now. Brodus Clay is great.
He is.
He faced Edge in the opener. And first off, they introduced Michael Cole. He got his own ring introduction. They constructed a coal mine for him. which, of course, my first thought was, why does he need a coal mine on a show that Jerry Lawler's not on? And then I realized, well, that's why! Because he's Michael Cole,
exactly.
And he's a heel.
Exactly. He needs his own protection device wherever he goes.
Edge and Brodus Clay. Clay is green, but Edge did a fine job with him.
Yes.
A big man, little man match. Brodus Clay is a big man. He is King Hippo. He makes a lot of strange noises in his matches.
Yes.
He's fat. He uses his giant ass and his ponderous midsection.
And his mohawk. He'll hit guys with his mohawk.
To beat people up.
Yes.
A great, great man. And sadly, he didn't win. Despite interference by Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez, I realize that Edge is going for the...
He is the world champion going into Mania.
Championship, but that didn't stop Del Rio from losing two shows in a row. I think, what the hell, it doesn't really matter, but they did a great near fall. I thought Brodus was going to win. I leaped out of my chair, but Edge kicked out. And then more distractions. Christian was there. Alberto, Rodrigo. Brodus got distracted, ate a spear. I was sad. And then Christian attacked Alberto. They had an awesome pull apart, like a pull apart that appeared real.
Like, holy shit, somebody separate these men.
And that's what happened. And then Teddy came out and signed a cage match in the main event, Alberto versus Christian. This was awesome.
It was a great segment. The nitpick would be they could have advertised the cage match on Raw, but I'm not going to complain because this was a fun show.
Doesn't matter. They advertise something on Raw, unless it's The Rock appearing. It's not going to make a goddamn bit of difference in people who watch SmackDown. People either watch SmackDown or they don't. I find it hard to believe that advertising a cage match on Raw is going to drastically fix the or improve the SmackDown ratings. But I guess there's no harm in trying.
Exactly.
Sheamus and Kofi, champion versus champion, relegated to the 8:15 time slot on a Friday night on SmackDown. Nobody gave a shit.
It was funny because even Josh was like, this is a very rare treat here.
Yeah.
To see a champion versus championship match. And I thought, yeah, we saw one open Raw like 2 months ago, if that.
So for everybody that argues and is still arguing about Miz and about how heels can't win clean, well, Sheamus beat Kofi clean in a champion versus champion match. Clean as a sheet. And this is Sheamus, of all people. So, that's Exhibit A. Sheamus wins, and it sucks to be Kofi.
It does. That's exactly what I wrote here. It sucks a cock to be Kofi, and also to be the Intercontinental Champion. I did see the headline on the front page right before we started that there was a title change on SmackDown. I assume it was this.
Well,
perhaps they changed it from Kofi to the garbage can.
Spoiler alert! There was a title change, and Kofi lost the title to Wade Barrett. It's fine.
He is on Mania. That makes sense. They did a recap of the very stupid Kane versus Big Show angle, and it led to a very stupid Kane-Big Show summit. To make a long story short, Show wanted to be friends and champions again. Kane disagreed. I don't even really know what happened next. They were choking each other. They broke it off. This was the polar opposite of the Christian-Alberto brawl, in that that was intense and realistic, and this was completely fake and phony. And then Kane laughed and said, not making this up, you complete me.
That's what he said.
So their gimmick apparently is they are an abusive gay couple.
It sucks. Cody Rhodes and Trent Beretta, they've slowed down Cody's music. He wears a black towel over his head. He wrestles in a suit and tie, or at least a slacks and a button-up shirt and a tie. Apparently, as people on the board have mentioned, this is likely some sort of comic book rip-off character. I don't read comic books. I don't know the character.
I used to, and I'm still not familiar with it. There's shades of the Phantom of the Opera or the Hunchback of Notre Dame in there.
No, there's not, because they actually were disfigured. The idea here is he's Kane 2011.
Yeah.
He is not really scarred, but he thinks he is. That's why he wears a see-through mask. I presume that's what the gimmick here is. It'd be nice if, you know, for the 8-year-olds, they did a better job explaining this. And then he headbutted Trent with his mask repeatedly for the win. And they claimed that the mask had been okayed by the board of directors. I don't know how that means it's okay to use it as a weapon. It'd be better if perhaps he used it as a weapon behind the referee's back to be more dastardly. But regardless, the gimmick is a million times better than dashing Cody Rhodes.
And the mask thing actually works because this whole storyline started because theoretically Cody was hit in the face with Ray's knee brace. So now he's using a mask. You're not impressed with that at all.
Not one bit. Kelly and Layla had a shitty match.
They did. The highlight of this was when Layla countered a move. I believe Kelly charged in the corner and Layla got a foot up. But regardless of what she did, Booker called it, also not making this up, a nice spot.
I liked it when he said, and I quote, "Kelly is in great shape these days." Like she recently lost 30 pounds.
Right. Booker's awesome.
Match sucked. Layla won. Layla and Michelle are friends. They're not even teasing a split up, which means they're probably splitting up at WrestleMania. Or they dropped it, one or the other. Core versus Big Show and Kane for the Undisputed Tag Titles. The match sucked. We had Gabriel pulling the ref out of the ring for the DQ. An actual DQ off that spot. And then Show went to chokeslam Gabriel. The entire core ran down. And then we had a great wild brawl. Booker screaming, "Call the police!" Kane and Show beaten up by all of the core. They tried to put Show through a table. The table didn't break. Show actually injured his shoulder, which, of course, they didn't even bother turning into a storyline. Hell of an angle. Killed on Raw.
Yes, it was.
Can't win them all.
During this angle, Wade actually got the Big Show up for Wasteland and managed to hit the move without anyone dying. I can't believe they even tried that after what happened to Mark Henry on Raw.
Didn't look good either.
No.
He lifted him up and he dumped him over. Whoop-dee-doo.
Realize that's basically what the move is, but it's been done better.
Yeah, but at least you can slam him.
This was a drop.
For those people that make fun of this move, and there are people that actually make fun of the move, mm-hmm. Find a 6'5" friend of yours and have him put you up in the Wasteland position and then have him slam you onto the ground from there. It ain't going to feel good.
No.
Now, granted, this didn't look good, but, you know. Del Rio did a promo. All mad about the cage. He's not an animal. Good promo. Swagger beat Masters. I don't know why they gave Chris Masters as much as they did. Swagger is in a prominent role in the best booked storyline so far going into WrestleMania. And so he's got to go toe-to-toe with Chris Masters?
I think you're overstating that.
He sold for a while.
Masters got some offense.
Masters should have been squashed. Yep. What the hell is Chris Masters doing?
Nothing. He's not doing anything.
Absolutely nothing. He should have killed this guy. So he put him in the ankle lock, and then they brought Cole in, and Cole put him in the ankle lock and was screaming, "Come on, Lawler!" He was great here.
He also made sure, before he put the hold on, that when he uses it, it's called the ankle lock.
Yeah.
Awesome. We got a 15-second clip of Jericho on Dancing with the Stars here. Ted DiBiase and Rey Mysterio had a good match, and Rey Mysterio won.
Yeah.
Good.
Not much more to say about
As established, Rey's in a Mania match. Ted's not, therefore Rey wins.
Except Maryse and Ted are still coming down to the ring together, and then she storms off. This is worse than, like, the legacy breakup.
It actually is. DiBiase and Maryse has gone on longer and run its course more than the legacy terrible breakup they had.
It's not even like it, by the time they do the breakup, no one will care. No one has cared for months.
No one cared when they started. They had a snooky video from her appearance on Raw. Made her seem like a big deal. I've never seen so much gotten out of one mediocre Fez press.
Alberto and Christian in a cage. Pretty damn good cage match. Especially since Alberto Del Rio is a luchador. Probably has done, I don't know, no cage matches in his life. So, they did a pretty damn good one here. And did a great spot where Alberto set up for the arm bar and Edge turned it into the unprettier for a near fall. That ruled. Then they're brawling at the top and Alberto's going over and Christian's going over and Christian kind of grabs him and pushes him so that he can't drop and then he drops and Christian wins a cage match. And afterwards, Alberto beats him up and he's about to hit him with a chair when suddenly Edge's voice comes over the loudspeakers and he's by Alberto's $300,000 car, he claims. He's got a chair and he threatens to destroy the car as Alberto's begging off. Now, first off, that can't be legal. Second off,
that's vandalism.
9 times out of 10 when this occurs, the babyface does in fact destroy the car. Not this time! Brodus fucking Clay comes out. Kills Edge! The heels stomp a mud hole in Edge. Give him a concerto to the arm. Great angle. Great show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all of this.
And theoretically, Christian did win here, so one can only assume that he's going to be putting the title matches a three-way. which to me seems clearly the right way to go.
Well, he wins the next week as well, so they've got to make it into a three-way.
Obviously.
Unless they're completely out of their
minds. Unless they're just retarded. So, yes, thumbs up for SmackDown.
All righty. Let's play another quick song. I told this guy to levelate this, and he did, so let's try it again.
Something must be done.
You say...
Dan Gable.
I say...
Kurt Angle.
You say...
Umaga.
And I say...
Umaga.
Dan Gable. Kurt Angle. Umaga.
Umaga.
Now let's call the whole thing off. Yes, you like...
Sin Cara.
And I like...
Sin Cara.
You like...
Pangea.
I like...
Mangina.
Sin Cara. Sin Cara.
Pangea. Mangina.
Let's call the whole thing off. But, oh, if we call the whole thing off...
Not too bad there by the free thinker.
I do like that one a lot.
It is a pretty good one. All righty.
Monday Night Raw.
Should we do Raw or should we do one more song?
Do another song. Songs are grand.
Let's try Highborn. Oops. Nope. I guess that's not a song. He told me to find a song. All right. Let's try this one by Fuzz Hard Man. A song by Fuzz Hard Man that is called Penis Humps. What a shocker. Let's play it. All righty. This is from the Underwear Giant, the Wabash Wiener. Elijo del Accordion Penis. Man Meat Munson. What's with all the penis names signing up? This is from Suck My Dick Big Cock 26.
What you gonna do with all that
cock?
All that
cock
inside your ass.
Teabagging retarded girls. This is badly levelated and very lewd.
And it makes you sound gay.
By Fuzz Hard Man. Can't we have a song that's not so lewd? Does such a song even exist?
No. Our songs are one giant pile of dirty jokes. Dirty jokes with melodies. That's what the drops are.
I don't write these songs, everyone. I want everyone to be well aware of that. Unless they're good, then I'll take credit for them. Let's try... Who's really good? Klitz.
Fine Man.
Klitz, I'm sure, has made some good songs. Let me find a good one here from him. Maybe all of them can be by Klitz today. Who, by the way, hate to break kayfabe, but his real name is not, in fact, Klitz. All right, here we go.
Old Man River, that old man River, he must know something, but
we are wild and...
That's not funny at all.
I disagree.
That is not funny at all.
Not funny a year ago at this time. It's hysterical in March of 2011. So you haven't gotten over that song then?
Vinny, I will never get over that song as long as I live. All right, one last one. I'm going to give him one more shot.
Ahora, todos, escúchenme. Everybody, listen. ¿Qué pasa, los lupacos? Tonight, I got a something special for you. My name is Alejandro Armando. Alejandro.
your name again? My name?
I don't think we ever played that before. That's a pretty good one.
Pretty great drop.
All right, start on Raw.
Once again, the show opened with Michael Cole getting his own entrance. He actually came out to JR's entrance. He played the Oklahoma song, and he came out with a giant fat pillow under his shirt to make him look fat. And best of all, a super short tie to emphasize his gigantic gut. That really made this outfit. He had his foot in a cast. He was waving barbecue sauce around. And he finally got down to ringside. And the best part of the entire deal, he threw his cowboy hat at Jerry Lawler and then dashed into the coal mine for safety. He is so awesome.
The coal mine.
Yes. Hmm. Everything about heel Michael Cole, except for his actual announcing, is great. So then Hunter came out in a 2-minute segment stretched to a good 10 minutes. They played his song all the way through. He just stood there. Then he started to talk. And again, what he had to say probably could have been done in 2 minutes. They stretched it out over 6. Talked about how in 2 weeks would be the defining moment of his career and the Undertaker's. He looked at some signs in the crowd, rambled on about nothing we have not heard before, said the streak was bigger than anything he'd ever done, wanted Taker to face him next week so he could look him in the eye and tell him that he would lose at Mania. And then he said that the loser of the match would in fact die.
You sound unenthused about this promo.
I do.
No, the other guy over on the other side of the room. My cat.
I think you said he sounded unenthused.
No, you!
I was unenthused about this promo.
All right.
So, finally, he was done. Teddy DiBiase, I would say interrupted, but really Hunter was already finished. So, DiBiase came out, said he was a rising superstar 1 year ago, now he's an afterthought. True. Said if he took Hunter out, he would be a giant star. So he's making his way down to the ring to kill Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, who hate each other with every fiber of their being, they both agree this is a fucking dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. So poor DiBiase had to take a violent beating. Hunter destroyed him, hit him really hard with a chair, threw him into the steps, just beat the fuck out of him. And then did the pedigree through the announce table, which the last time they tried this with Sheamus, there was a near tragedy. And then just now on SmackDown, we saw Sho get his shoulder injured. The announcer table bump's got to go. I get scared every time they try it now.
Well, they're going to do it again at WrestleMania.
Shit.
Why, in hindsight, why did Hunter kill Sheamus and put him through a table with a pedigree if Sheamus was just going to win the championship?
Don't know. Hmm. Because Hunter had to get his revenge.
Hunter is bigger than the title, of course.
He is. Well, the U.S. title, yes. Hmm. Please. Speaking of Sheamus, had a short match with Evan Bourne. Evan missed the shooting star press. Sheamus hit him with a kick and pinned him. There you go.
What a battle.
Yeah, it was a battle. Daniel Bryan came out. He said he was due his, he had not taken his,
He missed the best line when Sheamus said, "I am now your new champion of the United States of America."
I didn't miss it. It hadn't happened at this point yet. Bryan came out. He challenged Sheamus for Mania. Sheamus laid him out, and yes, that's what he said.
No, he said that before Daniel even came out.
Did he?
Yes.
I
don't mess up my notes. My notes are perfect every time.
That's right. I forgot. You've never erred.
Never.
Point is, yes, Sheamus did say that, and it was great. Then we had an amazing segment that set up an even more amazing segment down later in the show. Randy Orton has a bus, everyone. You know the bus he's been talking about in his promos for months? No, you don't know because he hasn't talked about it yet. He just showed up with a bus. So then he says, the great thing about this tour bus is that this man, whose gimmick is that he hears voices in his head that make him do horrible things, he can spend time with his family on the road.
Yeah.
Then he talked about being sick and twisted in the very same promo. So the point of this promo was, look everyone, Randy Orton has a bus. The Orton Express. Maurice and Eve had a shitty match. My personal favorite highlight here was Eve dodged and Maurice hit the ropes, much like you would when you were running the ropes, and then she sold this. It hurt. So Cole finally interrupted. You couldn't argue with him here. This match did suck, and it needed to be stopped. Eve finally won with a twisting suplex. She went after Cole in his box.
A twisting suplex?
A neckbreaker thing.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
It's not a souple.
She hooks her like a vertical suplex and then does a neckbreaker.
Hmm.
Call it what you want.
It's a shake, rattle, and roll.
Sure.
Without the shake or rattle.
So it's the name of this move is The Roll?
Yeah.
The Roll.
Because she does jiu-jitsu. And you roll.
Have you learned this move in your jiu-jitsu class?
I don't think I've learned this
one. You must not be a high enough belt.
Although...
You need some more stripes in your belt.
Although, a friend of mine, my instructor, in fact, is testing for his black belt in a couple of months now, actually. And so he's been coming over every week to go over all of the self-defense. Because the black belt test is almost all self-defense. Because no matter how good you are on the mat, they don't want their black belts going out. And if there's real trouble, having them have their ass handed to them because they're used to just fucking around in the guard. So anyway, he's coming over to do all the wacky stand-up self-defense and that sort of thing. And it's all pro wrestling. And he gets so pissed off when I tell him this. But it's all pro wrestling. Like, the guy grabs your lapel of your jacket, for example, and you grab his hand and you duck under and turn it into a hammer lock.
Sure.
I mean, this shit is straight out of wrestling. All of these wacky moves are straight out of pro wrestling, or vice versa. I mean, it's all the same shit if you go back. I mean, you know, pro wrestling in this country took a lot of, I mean, early jiu-jitsu took a bunch of moves from wrestling and vice versa. I don't care what anybody says. This is true. I have books here on my bookshelf from the 20s, The Art of Wrestling and Jiu-Jitsu, and it's all the same shit. So he gets so pissed off when he looks in the book to do the move, and I'm like, oh, I've done this one before, and it's straight out of pro wrestling. So anyway, yeah. I don't know how we got this out of Eve.
She does jiu-jitsu.
That's right.
And wrestling. So she went after Michael Cole. Cole was awesome here, taunting Eve. Eve, mind you. He was taunting her, saying she didn't want any of this. Then, in the same sentence, calling for security to take her away to save him. Amazing. Then, the only two tag teams left on Earth fight each other for the 400th time. Keith Slater and Justin Gabriel versus Santino and Kozlov again. It sucked. The heels won.
It really sucked bad.
I don't ever, ever, ever need to see this rematch anymore. I think I would rather see Cena and Orton at this point.
No.
So,
because that would be long.
Afterwards, Big Show and Kane strolled down to the ring. They had been left killed on SmackDown. Now they're coming. They were fine. So they came out to beat up the four dudes who beat them up. And they're going through all their moves and destroying the core. Meanwhile, Kozlov and Santino are just standing there in the ring. They didn't even know enough to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then they offer their handshakes, their hands, and Big Show and even Kane, even the big red monster shook their hands. I assumed they were there just to, they would get chokeslammed and then the fire would go off and blah, blah, blah. No, the impression I got out of this was that in the end, it's going to be Core versus Big Show, Kane, Kozlov, and Santino.
In an eight-man.
Which is the worst idea I can think of.
That's going to be a bad match.
Oh, Christ.
It'd be a bad match, that one right there.
That's one not to be missed. We then had a segment that I hated. John Cena live via satellite. They showed clips of Miz destroying him last week on Raw. And then the first thing he did after showing those clips was talk more about The Rock. Said their problems will be settled live on Raw next week. Bet that's not true. He admitted he'd underestimated Miz, so the fact that he was sitting at home is proof of what a badass Miz was. He did a...
Bullshit!
It was bullshit. He did a horrible fake laugh talking about Miz in disguise. Then he started to do some horrible fake... not quite crying, but the big sad swallow that he could not be there live on Raw tonight. And meanwhile, from his tone of voice and everything, he was clearly at 100%, not selling the beating at all. I thought this sucked.
It was pretty lame.
Thanks, Brian. Cole had Swagger outside to make sure Lawler didn't do anything as he cut his promo.
I didn't hear a word you said, by the way. What did you think sucked?
The John Cena segment.
Oh, that's right. That did suck. I was actually, in my mind, I was formulating this giant rant about The Miz. And I was so busy thinking about it that I wasn't listening to you. And then when I came back to Earth, I was like, did he just say that the Cole-Lawler segment sucked and I just agreed with him?
And
because that would be a lie.
And you returned so quickly to Earth from your rant land that you left your rant behind.
Oh, I remembered it. Don't worry.
So the point being, Michael Cole was in the ring. He had Jack Swagger on the floor to stop Lawler from getting in the ring to protect him. They showed clips of the Brian Christopher stuff from last week. You have said this, and Carl Stern made note of it in the story this week. Jerry Lawler has the best facials in wrestling. He's just sitting there at his desk, looking up at Michael Cole. He's not a lunatic. He's not an over-the-top, wacky cartoon character.
He's just disgusted.
He's just a man who all he can think is, Jesus Christ, I hate this motherfucker.
No, his exact words were, what were his words that he used on, I think it was at the beginning of this show. I want to knock your lights out. I want to punch your lights out. That's what he said.
Yes.
Yeah. When Cole stuck his tongue out at him earlier.
Yes. So, Cole said that Brian Christopher had given him the Lawler family photo album. They had a bunch of photos of youngsters from the 50s. So, for all I know, this was legit.
It was legit.
Cole started talking about Lawler's father. Said that Lawler and his father were cowards and bullies who talked a big game until somebody stood up to them. Said the Lawlers all had one thing in common. They're nothing but a bunch of losers. At this point, Lawler could take no more. He got to his feet. Swagger cut him off. But Lawler dumped him over the table. And there was a fantastic moment where Lawler realized, there's nothing between me and Michael Cole. And again, great facial expression. He gave chase, but Cole fled. And before Lawler could get a finger on Cole, which is an important but simple note, before he touched him, Swagger laid him out with a clothesline. Cole retreated to the safety of the coal mine, and Swagger pressed Cole's face up against the glass as Michael Cole cut an awesome promo
Lawler's
on him.
Face.
What is, Cole's face?
Yeah.
Swagger pushed Lawler's face in the glass as Cole cut an awesome promo. This is the best feud I've seen maybe in years.
It was quite great.
Just awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff. And it got better. They came back from break. Lawler was gone, of course. Michael Cole was in the coal mine, but he was very low-key. He apologized for his actions, and then it got still better as he blamed Lawler. He keeps pushing my buttons, he said, and when that happens, I just snap. And the key to this...
is he apologized.
Well, he apologized, but the man believes his own bullshit. This is not a heel promo, or this is not a heel giving a snarky delivery and being sarcastic. He keeps pushing my buttons. No. Michael Cole, the character, is so goddamn delusional, he actually believes the whole thing was Jerry Lawler's fault.
Yeah.
This was a million stars.
Michael Cole is a tremendous, wonderful heel.
Oh, God.
But he does not need to be commentating.
He should not be doing both jobs at the same time.
No.
But I am far more comfortable with this than I was like a month ago. We had,
when you wished him dead?
I violently dead.
Not very nice, Vinny.
No.
What if he had been hit by a truck after that show? He'd have felt really bad.
Debatable.
Perhaps you.
There were times when I did the whole drive up here, 60 minutes, and all I thought about the whole time was, God, I wish Michael Cole was dead.
Vinny.
Yeah.
You've got some serious problems.
Oh, I feel better now.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
So.
And I have you in my house?
I like your cats.
Oh, how wonderful.
He had John Morrison versus Dolph Ziggler. They had the Trish cover to, I believe it was Oxygen magazine. That also made me feel better.
Now, you cannot possibly be serious when you say that you spent 60 minutes in the car wishing Michael Cole was dead.
You
have to be kidding.
Perhaps not the entire 60-minute drive, but I vividly remember one point going through downtown Seattle thinking about what I would like to do to the man. These are the things that bother me in life.
I guess.
Yeah. So anyway,
doesn't seem
this
healthy.
Is why I don't own a gun, everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I agree. So Morrison versus Ziggler. There's a fantastic exchange on commentary where Josh Matthews says Cole, because Cole was listing all of Ziggler's accomplishments, such as they are, and Josh says, Cole, if you check the record books, Dolph Ziggler is also a former World Heavyweight Champion. And Michael Cole responded, oh, that's right. These are quotes.
Yeah.
That's what happened, everyone. Recently, in fact. So, Michelle blocked a Morrison dive, so Trish took out all the girls by herself. So the GM added all the girls Trish, Vicky, Layla, and Michelle. The heels were upset that Vicky was involved, which was hysterical because her presence just made it 4-on-2. They could not tag her in, and they would still have the numbers advantage. So they had this match. They got the heat on Trish. She looked much better than she did the last time she was doing spots in her 8-inch heels. Then, what the hell happened here? Oh, that's right. Vicky finally got a tag the first time in the match, and she comes in. She immediately misses a leg drop, and Trish tags out. Fantastic. So this led to Morrison making his comeback. Layla pulled Trish off the apron. This distracted Morrison, and Dolph hit the zigzag. Then he tagged in Vicky, and Vicky got the pin. Mm-hmm. Yay, good booking!
It's quite an enjoyable little segment.
Yeah. We had a bunch of guys talking about Undertaker and Hunter and how important and awesome it was and it would be. This was great. That's all it was. I don't want to waste time talking about it, but it ruled. We had Orton versus Ray, which I did not write down, but I remember. And Orton was about to hit the RKO when Punk, of course, appeared on the big screen outside the bus.
No commentary about what a boring, slow-paced match this was with Rey Mysterio involved?
Well, frankly, no. It was not a memorable match, which is a commentary by itself. Yeah, it was forgettable.
I know how Randy Orton can, but that takes talent.
To have a boring match with Rey?
To have a boring, slow-paced match with Rey Mysterio.
You can ground anybody.
He figured it out. Good for him.
He's the best. So, he has slow-paced matches, but he is not a slow-paced man, because when he realized his family was in danger, he sprinted up the ramp like no one has ever run before. Now, he runs up the ramp. The camera cuts to either, it was either Cole or Matthews, but the point was, they cut to him and then cut backstage to Punk running down to the bus. So I assumed, as soon as I saw that, well, this must be a pre-taped segment here in the back. And by the end, I was no longer certain. So the deal was, Orton got to the bus. Punk ran up and hit him in the knee with a weapon of some kind. And then Mrs. Orton appeared.
Yeah.
She was screaming and wailing to the point where Punk had to stop what he was doing and turn to make fun of her. Told her to shut up. And we had a drop of this, by the way, of Punk screaming and wailing and yelling, shut up. We'll play it every time on the show. So she went back in the bus. Punk beats up Orton some more, stomps his head theoretically into the cement. She's just looking at this. And then Punk goes over to the bus where she's inside the bus but looking through the glass door. And frankly, she appeared to have an orgasm at this point.
So I wasn't the only one that thought she was filled with lust.
In fact, Brian, I did not watch Raw until long after I had read your report and I thought you were exaggerating. I think you underdid this. This is a passionate moment for Mrs. Orton.
Yeah.
And so Punk blew her a kiss and left.
Where did they find this woman?
I don't know.
A porn site somewhere?
The acting involved in the women portrayed as Randy Orton's wife.
Twice now. He's had two different fake wives.
The other was horrible in a completely different way, though. She was horrible in that I'm not certain that was actually a human being. It may have been an intricate wax dummy.
Yeah.
This one was horrible in that, why are you in the throes of passion as this man's beating up your husband?
Yeah.
You think I have problems.
And theoretically, since she's now been on two shows in a row, she'll be back.
Yes. So I was inspired here to see if, in fact, you and I were the only ones who noticed this. So I looked at the clip on YouTube. I found one comment on the clip. I'm just going to read it here verbatim. For a guy that somks, Randy sure can fun fucking fast. And I would like to see what looks like inside Randy's bus. And I wonder if his kids were they too. The internet is awesome.
Mm. Yeah. I'm surprised they could find the enter button.
Alex Riley has been rehired. He announced he was in the ring. He announced he'd been rehired as Vice President of Corporate Communications. Of course.
Sure.
Why wouldn't he be qualified for that? So Miz came out. He cut his usual promo about how people used to think it was annoying. Claimed to be an original with more charisma than Shawn Michaels, more physical intimidation than Andre the Giant, more intelligence than Rock and Cena combined. Steve was bigger than the universe. He announced that he had flipped the WWE, so he flipped the little dealie on the microphone over so it was an M. Then he revealed the new belt, which was in fact the old belt with the logo turned upside down to be a big M. And he held the belt over his head, and there were, people were so derisively booing him, and I cannot lie, that segment warmed the cockles of my heart. Just stupid, goofy,
well, you're the one.
Corny pro wrestling shit. Josh called
yeah,
this...
Yeah, your champion going into WrestleMania.
Oh, who cares? I've given up on anyone taking that match seriously. So, yes, Josh called it disrespectful. Miz said the belt would no longer spin. It was not a toy. Vowed to never lose the title.
It hasn't even spun in 2 years.
I know. So Cena was on satellite again.
Earth to Miz, you've had the belt!
Apparently he hasn't looked at it that closely. Maybe he's just handed it to Riley all the time. So Cena actually made fun of Miz for thinking this stupid idea was cool. He vowed to make history in Mania. As he was saying this, they began to take the set apart and revealing that he was, in fact, in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh fans saw the sports team logos on the walls, and they all went crazy realizing he was backstage. That was actually a pretty cool reveal, honestly. And then he...
Well, aside from the fact that he gave it away in his promo earlier.
By being a shitty actor?
He pretty much told the world he was going to be there.
Yeah. Well, he fooled these fans. So he came out of the ring, and at this point, after like a year of being the giant Miz fan, Cole apparently forgot his role and was marking out for Cena. He was saying, this man is not here via satellite, and Cena came out and he said, he's here! That was confusing. He totally forgot. I guess now that he hates Lawler, he doesn't need to pretend to like Miz anymore. I don't know. So, Cena attacked them both. Fought them both off. Miz finally bailed.
Fought them both off!
What'd I miss?
Just a two-on-one attack on Cena doesn't work.
Cena destroyed the WWE champion and his lackey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Together.
Yeah.
The Nasty Boys nearly killed Ken Shamrock in a hotel room. And the world champion and his lackey can't even hold down John Cena for 10 seconds.
No.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, yes.
Listen, I'm not going to rant about The Miz, but I got to talk about it a little bit here. Because now we have threads on the board, such as this one here. Miz and being tough. The tough guy look. And people are debating, you know, he doesn't look tough. That's a big problem. And granted, this is all a big problem. But I want to clarify something. The problem is not just that Miz doesn't look tough. In fact, did you listen to the Dave show yesterday, Vinny?
No.
All right, I'll give you the same test I gave Dave. Let's say something very valuable to you is on the other side of this room.
Okay.
Fat burger.
Good call.
You need to get to it. In your way, there's four men. There's Alberto Del Rio. There's Jack Swagger. There's Brodus Clay. And there's The Miz. You've got to get to the fat burger. Which fucking guy do you go after to take out first? Or to just take out?
Well, my first reaction is that the man most likely to eat this fat burger is Brodus Clay. But you know what? There's nothing on earth I'm fighting that man for.
Yes.
So I would go for Miz.
You would go to take out The Miz.
Yeah.
Because in your mind, that's your easiest shot at getting in this fat burger. This is not what people should think about the world heavyweight champion.
Well, no.
Now, listen, that's not the... Yes, that is a huge problem in Miz's case. But I'm not even here saying that in order to be taken seriously as champion, you have to be perceived as the toughest guy in the room. But you have to have something. Like, people have noted, you know, Brian, if you did that same thing and it was Alberto Del Rio, who's done MMA and was a great amateur, and Jack Swagger, who'd tie you in knots, and Brodus Clay, who was a bodyguard, and he's a big, fat, scary-looking dude. What if you had those three guys and Shawn Michaels? Who would you go for first? You'd go for Michaels, of course.
Oh, God, yes.
Of course. But here's the difference, okay? If you're going to be the champion of the organization, you've got to have something. Shawn Michaels was the best wrestler in the company by a country mile. So even if he wasn't the toughest guy in the room, it's professional wrestling. And he was the best one. You know? If it were tennis, he'd be the best tennis player. If it were soccer, he'd be the best soccer player. His football, he'd be the best football player. You know, you wouldn't expect Shawn Michaels to be great at basketball if he were a great soccer player. But he's great at soccer. So maybe you think, you know, in a knockdown dragout brawl, maybe I'd beat up Shawn Michaels. But you know what? He was the best wrestler. He was also really, really fast, and he did a really, really great job portraying babyface fire. So maybe there was that part of you that thought, you know, if I really did piss that guy off, he might go nuts on me. He might work circles right. He might be real fast. He might catch me. You know, there's something. He's an athlete. He was a great athlete. So at least Shawn Michaels had that. And he could cut these serious promos and be very, very serious, and he could portray himself as a pretty damn tough guy despite his small frame. All right? Bryan Danielson, not a huge guy, okay? But you can believe he's the best professional wrestler. You know, of all the guys under the rules of professional wrestling, he's the best. And maybe he will submit you. Maybe he's going to take you down and choke you out. You know, Brodus Clay, big, fat, scary-looking guy. Jack Swagger, he'll tie you up in knots. You know, even if nothing else, if you can cut a believable promo, a believable, mad, angry promo, where you could be so believable in your promo that people believe, okay, you know, maybe I can take this guy, but if I really made him mad, you know, maybe he's going to kick my ass. You got to have something there. You know, Chris Jericho, hockey player. You know, he put Goldberg in a guillotine. Granted, the story was overblown, but it wasn't like he backed down or anything like that. You know, Booker T beat up Batista. You know, there's something here with a lot of different guys. Triple H at least is a big, physically imposing guy. If you saw Triple H on the street, he's a big fucking dude. You wouldn't just be going, "Hey, I'm going to go after this guy." So. What does Miz have? He's not physically imposing at all. You know, he looks like a guy that works out, maybe. He looks like the personal trainer at your gym. You know, he's a great talker. But when Miz is talking about how he's going to kick your ass, do you really believe that he's going to kick your ass?
No.
No, he's a guy playing a role. Is he a great wrestler?
No.
Do you believe that in a... Let's say that wrestling was real... And we're talking about, you know, technical wrestling or whatever the case might be. Is he really going to beat everybody else? Is he the best wrestler in the company? He's not even close. Is he the size of Cena? Does he have the intimidation factor of The Undertaker? What does Miz have? Nothing. So, what do you have to do? You got to have him beat everybody in the fake world of pro wrestling. So, as a viewer, you can at least believe, you know, hey... Somehow he always wins. Somehow he's always the better man in all of these matches. You know, maybe that's not what you normally do with a heel, but in Miz's case, you got to give him something. And something is not, he wins a bunch of matches because his lackey from developmental runs in to help him. His friend from NXT, his NXT rookie helps him win. Or, in the case with Cena, him and his NXT rookie combined cannot even beat up John Cena. The guy needs something. And right now, unfortunately, they've given him nothing. And it's nothing against Miz. I'm not saying that Miz needs to get on steroids or Miz needs to beat folks up, you know, or punch out a fan or anything like that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that right now, he doesn't have any of those things you need to be taken seriously as a believable champion. And you know, the fact that people don't see him as a tough guy is a real big thing. But... there are champions in the past that people didn't really take seriously as necessarily big, tough street fighters, but they had something. They had something believable. You know, Lawler, Jerry the King Lawler is 61 years old. Jerry Lawler, he's going to cut a promo and you know, he can convince people that, you know, I may punch you in the face. I may punch you right in the face. You know? Are you really, if Jerry Lawler is selling that he's in a pissed off mood, are you really going to jump the rail and go after Lawler? No. You don't think he's going to punch you right in the face? Never feel that with Miz, ever. You know? You feel like if you jumped the ring, Miz would hide behind the referee. That is not what you need in your world champion. So anyway, what happened after that? He ran off?
He ran away.
He ran away.
Yes.
He ran away.
He really does have nothing going for him.
I mean, I have nothing against Miz. I truly feel bad for the guy. You know, he tries really fucking hard.
Sure.
He's worked really, really hard to get to where he's at. You know, a lot of guys would have given up. He just kept going. You know, I think that's great. That is great for Miz. But goddamn, the guy could use some help. You know, some guys could use some help. And Miz is getting no help from the company. He's trying his damnedest to get over as a world champion. And unfortunately, it's just not working right now. So the least they could do is fucking give the guy some help. Instead of sitting here and going, man, you know, he's not over. And when he's on TV, people tune out. We got to give him something. You know, let's have him. You know, it was always half-assed stuff. They always got this half-ass idea. Man, let's have the Great Khali kill him. And then Riley will run in. And then Miz will beat him up with a chair. You know, it's a week later. Has anyone forgotten that the Great Khali beat the shit out of Miz before that happened? Of course not. Last week, people are like, all people are going to remember is a chair shot. No, they're not. They remember the Great Khali beating up Miz first. Because you can't forget it. Because this happens every single week. My God, it's like, you know, the week before the go-home show. And they've been trying to get him over by having him lay out Cena every week. But it was never like, in a fair fight, he got the better of him. You know what I mean? Not even like, the Sheamus-Kofi Kingston match. Where Sheamus is outside the ring, and yeah, he's backing up away from Kofi. But then he kicks the steps into his leg, and then he throws him in the ring, and he hits his move. You know, he didn't cheat. He was a little bit cowardly. But still, in essentially a straight-up fight, he got the better of the guy. It's okay to do that every now and then. You know, if you're afraid to let Miz, just once, beat up John Cena in a fair fight, then what does that tell you about how you've booked John Cena? If John Cena is such that if Miz beats him up one time, that's the end of John Cena, then you suck at booking. You suck. And even if you beat up John Cena and his merchandise stops selling, you should be able to rehab Cena if you know what you're fucking doing. So anyway, these people don't know what they're doing nowadays. Which is funny because they're doing a great job with Lawler and Cole. A great job with Lawler and Cole. It's just amazing sometimes that they can hit a home run with Lawler and Cole, and they can strike out every goddamn single time with The Miz. How is it even the same people putting this together? It's not even like we're watching Raw do everything right and Impact do everything wrong, you know, or vice versa. You know, we're watching one show where they do everything right with one storyline, and then they fuck everything up with another storyline. It's mind-boggling, actually. Whew. Let's play a song, and then we'll do some shout-outs.
Oh, God, we have shout-outs, too? I would have cut you off if I had known that.
I wanna be a billionaire! So fucking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of
WD
magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
A foul mood.
Oh, every time I
burn time,
I see my name in shiny light.
This is Vince McMahon's world.
City every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare. For when I'm a
billionaire! Ow! Those rotten bastards! Get it! And the people shut up! Shut down! Ah! Ah! Damn it, come on! Open him up!
Some support from this audience, but 95% of them are idiots.
Every time I close my eyes,
yeah!
See what you see. I see my name in shiny light.
This is Vince McMahon's world.
A different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a
billionaire.
When Klitz is on, he's on. Brian and Vinny and the gang, I decided to claim my free shout-out to celebrate the fact that my reproductive organs work. Yes, I'm a father! Finley John Fitzsimmons. That's a name for you.
This is not from Clits.
No.
You didn't read a name for this. You just started talking about him and then...
Let me continue. Finley John Fitzsimmons was born on 25th January at a robust 8 pounds and 15 ounces. He's a chunky little fella. I want to give a shout out to my wife for getting through the sheer horror that is a 45-hour labor.
Oh, God.
Yes, really, 45 hours, and without the use of any drugs. She is a better person than me. She's a better person than all of us. Also want to give a shout out to the F-365 gang, and particularly Harvey Shammers. That can't be his real name. Harvey Shammers?
Oh, the Fighting Shammers.
Come on now. Jedrick Grapalski, also can't possibly be his real name. Everyone's favorite Polish wrestler. Gigantic fuck-offs to Michael Cole, Harry Redknapp, and Michael Moles. A douche of such proportions, he would fit in on the board. Keep up the great work. Freeloaders, sort out your lives and get subscribing. John, from Hertfordshire, England. Oh. Finley John Fitzsimmons.
Okay.
That's a man's name right there. All right. This is from Kenny. I was a freeloader for a few months before I said to sign up, and I'm really glad I did. Love your shows. The archive is a great bonus. Want to say hi to my friends Andrew, Charlie, and Lindsay, but not to squeak. He can be a real douchebag. That's two shout-outs in a row with the term douchebag. Sometimes I want to kick him in the nuts until blood comes out of his mouth. That's horrible.
See, it's not just me.
I also want to plug some of my favorite things. LukeyGames.com, Cinemassacre.com, Kevin Smith, Garfunkel and Oates, The Gold Peak Sweet Tea.
Garfunkel and Oates is fantastic.
Please support ROH. They always put on great shows that are worth paying your hard-earned money to see. Get a front row seat every time they come to Chicago Ridge. I'm always looking forward to it. Keep up the great work, B&V. Kennedy from Paxton, Illinois. You get a free shout-out when you sign up, everybody. That's incentive. It's only $10.99 a month to get all the shows and all the archive shows and all the newsletters and all the archive newsletters. We mention it every week. All I'll say is sign up. You will not regret it, guaranteed. Especially next week. Five straight days of former WWE writers going to be on this show talking about writing for WWE. And we had Larry Mullen on today, who not only was a writer for WWE in 2005, but he wrote like five of the top-rated seasons of 90210. Head writer of 90210 during the glory years.
Has Dave been alerted?
Yeah, he wished he could have been on the show. Mm. We talked about wrestling and 90210. It was an awesome show, and you can't hear it unless you sign up. In addition to all the other shows we're doing next week with the other writers. So sign up, everybody. You won't regret it. All righty. This is from Neil, the dude. Brian, I've been a member for nearly 2 years. I figured I would cash in my shout-out. Recently started my own podcast at drandude.com. It's all spelled out, drandude.com. And in honor of WrestleMania and my friends, I'm heading to Atlanta. Our focus, instead of its usual focus on sports gambling, will be betting on wrestling. We'll have lines for all the Mania matches.
Oh, dude.
And break them down, as well as Dragon Gate and ROH. Check it out.
I do not recommend doing this.
Check it out the weekend before Mania, drandude.com. Thanks. And Vinny, keep on not caring. That's from the dude. How fitting.
Will do. The dude abides.
This is from Barry. I'd like to thank the board's Tom C. for donating his shout out to promote Board of Mania 3, which is taking place March 30th, 2011. That's a week away. A fine man! If you're a freeloader, as well as the tremendous main site content you're missing, you are missing out on all of the fun on the board. The greatest message board on the internet, with some of the most hugely entertaining and creative personalities online. Well, that cannot be denied. If you sign up today, you can check out the Board of Mania thread with tons of custom-made vignettes, promos, trailers, graphics, and more, promoting the certifiable dream card made by the organizers and the participants. Here are the show's main event matches. Iamo version 1, who apparently is the king of the board, challenges Wes Destiny for the F4W Heavyweight Championship and about to determine quite simply the greatest boarder alive today. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Alpha Bromega versus Team Rumors in a War Games match. Promega claims to be one of the greatest stables in board history and looked to prove that claim right at Boardamania 3. Aeroscorp versus F4W's own Mike Coughlin. We've seen another side of Coughlin of late, more aggressive, more vitriolic, and more dangerous. Aeroscorp makes his much-anticipated return to the board after an initial thrashing to shut Coughlin up once and for all. And in a match 5 years in the making, which quite frankly I know almost nothing about, Brian Alvarez does battle with Rovert. Simply put, this match will be the end of half a decade of turmoil. Oh, really?
No, it won't.
Really, fools? At least we will have an answer. Who is the better man and who is just a pathetic troll? Sign up before...
little of this, little of that.
March the 30th of 2011 to find out. We've also got a thrilling undercard featuring Lance Storm, Vinny, B-Papa, Oriental Heat, Limerick Lad, Matt Pat, and more. What a lineup!
I hope I'm in a battle royal.
I wish we could... I hope the match... I don't even know what the matches are, but it should be Matt Pat against Vinny for the most bitter man alive.
That's a tough one.
What a battle that would be. I should be booking this fucking thing. Be sure to sign up and be a part of the showcase.
How are these determined? Fan voting?
Showcase of the Board of Mortals. I guess. I have no idea how it even works.
I do not know.
All right. Two final shout-outs here. These are very, very important shout-outs, so listen carefully. It's from Ed, first off. Chico and Vinny, I want to remind everyone we are 2 months away from this year's Figure Four convention.
Yay!
Events planned so far are the big Friday night dinner, which will include a pre-dinner hospitality suite for a bring-your-own-beer cocktail hour from 5 to 6, a private banquet room from 6 to 9, with maybe a wireless mic thrown in. I hope not. An after-party hospitality suite with a 420-square-foot balcony with views of the Strip from 9 to midnight. A dinner buffet served from 6:15 to 7:30. And this is very important. It's actually the second shout-out. We need as many people to pay as soon as possible to make sure we get everything for that night. So here are the details, everybody. If you're going to Vegas for the Vegas convention this year, you need, and you want to go to dinner, you need to sign up very, very soon.
This is Friday night.
Friday night. It is a private banquet room, 6 to 9 p.m., and the after-dinner hospitality suite.
Yes.
There's a if you go to the Empire Get-Togethers area on the board, all the information is there, if you're a member.
Thread there about the banquet itself, not the weekend, just the banquet.
And here's the key. In order to get the private banquet room and to be in with dinner... And it is basically a mixed buffet. There's a lot of stuff available. There's baby back ribs, herb roasted chicken, fried chicken.
Sounds awesome.
Chocolate cake, all taxes and service fees. It is $50 per person, but it is a 32 person minimum.
Yes.
We have 10 confirmed so far, and we have to have it paid by April 4th. So if you are going, either go to the board and go to the Vegas Convention Banquet thread in the Empire Get-Together section, and all the information is there. Or, if you're going and you're not a member, seniorhiali at yahoo.com. That's srjaialai at yahoo.com. Seniorhiali, srjaialai at yahoo.com. He will give you all the information. You must sign up and pay by April 4th. Otherwise, you are not getting into the banquet.
And perhaps none of us are.
Yes. So it's very, very important.
And this Senior Hialeah, we have known this man for years. Very trustworthy. He will not rip you off. He will put your money where it's supposed to go, into the banquet. And should things fall through, you will get your money back. He's a great man who has taken on the... administrative responsibilities. So, a thank you to him.
Also, Saturday is the big UFC show, the big dance party at Dick's. Sunday is the wedding reception for my former co-host, Peach Machine, at the Venetian with an open bar. Contact Peach. Let him know you are going. And one more thing, your good friends Blue Fist and Irish Car Bomb were going to miss this year's convention as they were saving up to get married. I am asking anyone going or has ever gone to join me in pitching in to pay for their room as a wedding present. Between four people, we already have most of it, so I'm asking if anyone would like to donate $5, $10, or $20. I know what you're thinking. Ed's trying to get stripper money from us. Well, have all the money sent to Rodney. And sorry, so everybody knows this is on the level. And you can PM or email Ed at f4wfan@hotmail.com. So there you go, everybody. The convention is coming up. And once again, if you want to be involved in the big Friday night buffet dinner and the party afterwards, it's going to be $50. And you must pay by April 4th. So go to the board for more information or email Senior Hyalai and he'll help you get set up. So with that said, everybody, we're done for the day. I'm going to wrap it up tomorrow. Oh, Christ. We got a special show tomorrow that I can't even talk about yet, but we got a big show tomorrow.
If I guess, will you tell me?
No. Oh. With Josh Nason talking to a big name MMA fighter that you all know and love. And then later on in the evening, Dave Meltzer is going to be on with another show. So tons of stuff coming up. Check it out. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.